If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
That was my Friday night, just shaving my chest. It was pretty great.
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I'm Heather B. Armstrong.
And I am John R. Bray.
We are recording a few days later than normal. Quite a few days later than normal.
Yes, we are.
Due to an incident.
Yeah, that's a good word
for
it.
I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing.
That's kind of how I look back. I mean, there's the humor in it. And for anyone who follows me on Instagram, or really Instagram stories, I suppose, has probably figured out what is going on. Or what went on, rather. But I had a brief detour to the hospital at the end of last week.
Let me just read the text that you sent me. Need to cancel. Blacked out at a Starbucks on my way to the ER. Not joking. For now, I'm fine.
Yep, that was definitely in the back of an ambulance.
Oh my God. I was actually running. I was illegally running stairs at the time.
When I texted?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like trying to run down the stairs and text at the same time. And I'm like, I'm going to end up in the ER too if I continue to try this.
Oh my God.
Okay, what happened?
I would love to know exactly what happened, but it's so weird because everything about last week and everything about Thursday was exactly the same as it always is. I mean, we've talked so many times on this podcast about how routine our mornings are and our days are because that's how we structure them, and everything about it was routine. But I realized after dropping Lexton off at school that I didn't have any coffee at home. So I decided I would go and get coffee at Starbucks, and I would sit there for an hour or two before I had to make a few calls. So I got there and I was sitting at a table just writing on my laptop. And I remember very clearly thinking, and I had only had like half of a coffee, not even. So it had nothing to do with caffeine. I had almost no coffee at all. And I remember feeling a little bit dizzy and just thinking, that's kind of odd. I feel a little bit dizzy. I'll sit up straight. I'll take a drink of coffee. I'll, you know, whatever. And then I remember feeling really dizzy, like the feeling just got amplified. And then the next thing I knew, I opened my eyes and I was sitting on the floor. And there was a woman's voice in my right ear saying, don't try to get up. Don't try to get up. Don't try to get up. And it was incredibly disorienting because, for one, I had blacked out. So that's disorienting in itself. But then when you go from having a particular vantage point, like from sitting at a table and looking out, to sitting on the ground and seeing only underneath the tables and chair legs and people's legs, it's really disorienting. Like, God. And there's the woman beside me who just so happened to be a former ER nurse. I don't know how that happened. She was at Starbucks at the same time. And then there was a barista on the phone with the EMTs, and there was another barista, and there was another guy there, because I guess this woman, the way that she describes it is she saw me kind of just pass out in my chair, and she got up and grabbed this other guy and ran over and like set me onto the ground so I didn't fall and hit anything. So he's there and I come to, and the EMTs, and of course it's in the morning at a Starbucks, so it's incredibly busy. So there's people like absolutely everywhere, and the EMTs come in, and everyone was great, but they come in and they're like pulling my shirt up and sticking all these leads onto my chest, and immediately you've got like 10,000 questions to answer. And I declined the ambulance because this is a fucking terrible reason to decline the ambulance, but I know how much ambulance costs and I have insurance, but it sucks. It's terrible insurance.
And they don't really like to cover ambulance rides usually.
Oh yeah. No. And all I, when they said, you know, you can, you know, we recommend taking the ambulance. You don't have to. I'm like, oh, hell no. Cause that's going to be $1,000 or more. I'd rather just call someone and have them come get me. And then they hooked up like a 12 lead EKG and took the reading, and both the EMTs, they looked at each other and then looked back at me, and they're like, we really think you should come in the ambulance.
Oh my God.
Like, there's some irregularities on this. And they said, it might be nothing, but if you're with us and it's not nothing, we can do something about it. So I just agreed, got in the ambulance, had a great talk with the EMT about mochas. So that was fun. Like, all about mochas and how addicting Starbucks is and all that. And then ended up at the ER for a while, where they had me do this. And no one really knows exactly what caused it. Like, every time a new person would see me, the comment was like, you're way too young to be here. And you run? What happened? Like, every single person. So they had me do these, what are they called? Orthostatic vitals, which is basically you lay down and they monitor your blood pressure and your heart rate. And then you stand up and they check your blood pressure and heart rate. And then you stay standing for 3 minutes and they check it again, basically to see if your heart can accommodate that change to be able to pump blood evenly. And the laying down test was fine. The initial standing test was fine. And then after about 2 minutes, my heart rate plummeted to like the high 20s.
What?
And I got extremely dizzy again and had to lay down. And that happened twice at the hospital.
The low 20s?
And no, it was the high 20s, like 27.
The high 20s.
Which apparently is pretty low, you know. And it's an incredibly weird feeling to be standing there. And, you know, you can watch the monitor and to just see your heartbeat just suddenly start dropping by like 5 beats per minute, like every 2 seconds. And then you get really dizzy. And according to other people in the room, then I get really white and my eyes roll back in my head and it's a great time. And this has never happened to me, ever. So of course, as soon as that happens once in the ER, the doctor comes walking in. He's like, you're staying overnight. There's no way I can let you go after watching that happen on the monitor.
Oh my God.
And this is, I don't know, like 11 o'clock on Thursday. And all I can think, I have meetings I have to cancel. I've got Lexton I have to pick up. I'm still thinking about how expensive the ambulance was, which is probably now only a fraction of the cost of the ER. And all of that is a whole separate discussion, because you should not ever have to go through a medical emergency and think about how much it's going to cost you.
Being preoccupied with the financial aspect of it. Exactly.
It's ridiculous. I mean, honestly, it's absolutely insane.
I mean, this is the perfect example of people saying, well, I don't want to have to pay for your illness, for you not taking care of yourself. When you're 32 years old, you run religiously, you take really, really good care of yourself, and here comes this mystery thing that basically knocks you on your ass.
Exactly. And even when I was sitting in the ambulance, I told the EMT, you know, he was just kind of asking me generally, you know, how are you feeling? Are you doing okay? And I said, yeah, honestly, the only thing I'm really worried about right now is how much this is going to cost. And he goes, oh man, you know, you don't need to, you really don't need to stress out about that right now. And I just looked at him. I didn't even say anything. I just looked at him. He goes, yeah, it's bullshit. I know. Like, just flat out. Like, even they know, because everyone's kind of in the same boat. I mean, there's a certain point, even with awesome insurance, shit is expensive.
Yes.
Like, just in general.
I mean, they charge you for every cotton ball they use in the ER.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Every Advil that they give you, they charge you like $10 or $12 for it.
Yep. Yeah. It's funny you say that, because they gave me like 4 Advil in the ambulance. And he's like, just take these and chew them. And so I took them. And as soon as I swallowed, it was like, son of a bitch. Why? Why did I have to take those? I can just see the numbers.
I just swallowed like, $70. Shit.
Yeah. That I had in my medicine cabinet for like 40 cents. But so I get there, I end up there overnight as a fall risk, because if I stand, I get dizzy and then I fall. And that was awesome. Like EKG and echo. And what else did they check? Some sort of cardiac enzyme for like heart attack in the event that that's what it was. And basically what it amounted to is, it was just one night. I was discharged the following day. And My last conversation with my doctor was, your echo looked fantastic. Your EKG looked fantastic. all of your numbers that came back were flawless. He's like, there was one number that could possibly show you were maybe leaning toward dehydration. He's like, that doesn't have anything to do with this, but that's the only thing that was bad. It's like, so I can't justify keeping you here. There's no other tests we can really do. So we're going to discharge you with a monitor and then have you come back in and have a consult with a cardiologist.
Do you remain hydrated normally?
I do. I mean, I've never had issues with dehydration. I mean, the only thing in terms of the dehydration that I can think of is I had been running every single day for like almost 45 days.
Oh my God.
This is something that I think actually probably contributed because I had been running every day for 45 days up until the end of September. And then I stopped intentionally and just went to like an every other day schedule. And it was 4 days after that this happened. Huh. So I'm trying to figure out if somehow there's a correlation. I mean, it's not like I was running excessive distances or tons of long runs or anything, but I just wonder if it was some sort of weird transitional shock for the body to go from, you know, 4.5 to 5 miles every single day to not.
Why did you intentionally stop?
Originally, I just set some arbitrary goal to run for an entire calendar month for no reason. But I started actually running every day in the middle of August. So the next full calendar month was September. So I just ran from like mid-August all the way through the month of September and then decided, well, I'm not going to run every day anymore. And in part, it's dark so late in the morning here now that it's hard for me to go before Lexton goes to school.
Right.
And I don't have time when he's at school or after I pick him up and it's, you know, the typical post-school routine of chaos. So it just made sense to go back to an every other day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was crazy.
That is
insane. This was the first time I've ever been overnight in a hospital. It's my second time in my life in a hospital.
When was the first?
I was like 10. I broke my foot and that was really only the ER.
Yeah. I've never stayed overnight. I stayed overnight because of giving birth, but not because of a medical emergency like that. That must be, I don't know, like... I mean, was it cold? Was it dark? Was it lonely?
It was most definitely lonely. This was an excellent experience. If you're looking for a way to highlight loneliness, I highly suggest a medical emergency because it's, I mean, I have a lot of family. I have a lot of, you know, incredible friends and I was able to text a lot of people and, you know, keep people posted, but that's about it. Like, you know, people, there's really no need for people to fly across the country to see me for one night in a hospital. And you just suddenly realize how kind of void your life is. And hospitals are, it's not hot or cold. It's just kind of bland. And fortunately, my room, my heart was being tracked like at the nurse's station. So there was no beeping in my room, but you can hear like just the steady beep of these heart monitors or whatever they are, you know, periodically. And you've got the nurses coming in to wake you up and make sure that you have this or to check vitals or to do that. And it's very strange. Oof. And you've got, you know, an IV port in one arm and this like big monitor strapped to your body. So there's really no good position to be in. And watched a lot of HGTV. God. Yeah, it was... And I have to say, I mean, this is, like I said, the only time it's happened, but I think it's really strange to go through this and for the most part, feel totally normal and not really know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like
if something really bad happens and you know what it is and you're there for it, I think at least you can kind of mentally like acknowledge why you're there and what's going on. But when it's a total mystery... There was my first conversation with my doctor, he went through probably 10 or 15 things that it could be, but it's not because of these factors. Like initially I could think it's this, but it's not because of this. And then I could think it might be this, but it's not because we did this test. Like basically he sat down and gave me a whole list of all the possible options that it's not. And then mentioned at one point, this was awesome. he had two hypotheses. One is that my heart was too muscular, so it wasn't able to expand and contract like it should. And that could contribute, and they were going to find out if that was the case in the echo, and that wasn't. The other option is that I had, what the hell is it? A sick node of some kind, I don't know, where the electric impulse enters the heart. And he's super matter of fact. And he's like, and if that's the case, then we just give you a pacemaker.
Oh my God.
I'm like, I'm 33. So that does not seem that simple to me. I don't really want a pacemaker. Fortunately, that wasn't the case. But as like throughout that entire almost 48 hour period, that was the only thing I could think about. Like, great, I could be in my young 30s and require a pacemaker after like 33 years of heart health.
That has just got to be so frightening.
Yeah. I mean, silver lining, I didn't have to get a pacemaker. I got to sit in the hospital bed and drink some ginger ale.
You were also in the hospital where...
I did. Yes, I will say I was not entirely alone. This was such a surreal experience.
I asked you, I'm like, do you have anybody there with you? And you're like, guess who is here with me?
Yeah, so Heather was there for 12 hours, almost straight, because she's one of the only people that I know who lives close. And obviously, if I can't, you know, if I can't pick up Lexton and he can't stay at home that night, then she has to know. So I texted her and said, you know, go to the ER. I'm fine, but you need to know. She was like, I'll be right there. And I'm pretty sure she beat me to the ER. I don't know how, but she did. And that was really strange. And all, you know, they, like the doctors and nurses, when they come in and talk to you, if there's people in the room, they make sure that they can have this conversation with these other people there. So they would always walk in and like, you know, is it okay to have this conversation? I'd say yes. And they'd say, oh, is this your wife, girlfriend? I'm like, no, this is my ex, actually. But go ahead. Let's just have this conversation. And I actually had a nurse. The only male nurse I had was in the ER. And there was like a 10-minute period, I don't even remember why, where Heather had left. And we had been talking, and he has kids, and you know, he knew about Lexton, and all of a sudden he's like, so is this like your wife? Are you guys getting married? And his name was Jim. And I said, no, Jim, this is the best part. That's my ex. Today fucking blows. And he lost it. He was like in tears when he left the room. He was like, oh shit, man, really? Oh God. So at least I knew I wasn't alone in that awkward feeling. I mean, it's not that I'm ungrateful. It was very nice to have someone there that I knew. And as I've said before, she's a nurse. And although I think this is total bullshit, I think I was given clearer answers because she's a nurse and they knew that.
Right.
Because there were times where they would tell me something that was sort of like this half-ass answer. And Heather would jump in with a very pointed question and they'd kind of look at her. She'd be like, yeah, I'm a nurse. And then they would give me the expanded answer with all of the information. Not that it was like over my head that they were trying to spare me from some sort of like medical jargon. It's just, they don't give you all the information. God, it was weird to sit there in this bed.
It's awkward.
And look out and be like,
yeah,
why this, you're the person who's here. Like what has happened to my life? Like, why?
You're not being ungrateful. I think anybody would find that a little awkward given the circumstances, but between the two of you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I cannot possibly imagine being in the ER and having John Armstrong be the person there for me. Like that would be weird. It'd be weird. Really, really, really weird. First of all, he doesn't live here.
Yeah, so that would mean he took a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's odd. I mean, there were times where I was thinking, like, this is, at least there's someone here. Like, at least there's another body here.
Yeah.
That's not a nurse, that's not, you know, part of this medical team taking care of me. But then there were honestly other times where I'd be sitting there, I'm like, can you just go? Like, just leave. Like, you don't need, we don't have this sort of connection anymore. I really appreciate it, but it just, I don't understand why you're here.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just strange. And then, of course, it's really, the whole situation is really weird for Lexton because, you know, I pick him up every day. And his grandparents picked him up and had to tell him, you know, that I was in the hospital. So he came and actually saw me that night. And he's, you know, he's 13, so he was playing it cool. Like, everything's fine. Yeah, no, I know you're okay. It's okay. It's totally okay. And then before he left, he said, well, you can come over and give me a hug. And he kind of paused and like walked over to the side of the bed and just rubbed my shoulder. It's like, okay, good night. That was it. Like, that was as close as he could get. And I'm not even hooked up. Like, I had a port in my arm, but there was nothing connected to it. You couldn't really see it. It was really just me in a gown in a bed. But I think it's...
Yeah, you that's see, weird for him. Yeah.
Well, I think it makes your... I think kids automatically see their parents as essentially invincible. Mm-hmm. So to all of a sudden come into a room and realize that this person that you've thought is invincible is incredibly vulnerable has got to be a really unnerving experience.
Right.
So that's why I couldn't really record
the podcast. That little trip to the ER is the reason that you couldn't record it several days ago. Oh my God.
Yeah. It really threw off my week. Uh-huh. Not gonna lie. You don't plan on that.
It's interesting that because it was a year ago Sunday that we ran the marathon together.
And, yes.
Like if this had been a year ago, like they probably would have advised you not to do it. I'm sure they would have.
That's the thing with all of this is I kind of expected to leave with this heart monitor and them to say, you should probably not run for a while. You should probably cut back on the coffee, something. And when I was being discharged, I asked the nurse, she seriously looked at me. She's like, no, go to town. She's like, don't hold back. Run as much as you want. Drink coffee. She's like, if you drink alcohol, you can still have a drink. Do whatever you need to do. She's like, if something is going to happen, you've got the monitor on. So at least then we can kind of start to piece things together.
So did the monitor, does it like transmit to the hospital or does it record something on your person or?
No, it records, from my understanding, and that's what's weird. It's not like live tracked. So if something happened, they're really not going to find out for like 2 weeks. But it records every heartbeat and then periodically throughout the day downloads it to some, I don't know, a cloud somewhere at some medical company. And then when it's done monitoring, it's a 14-day monitor, when that's done, then it gets sent to the cardiologist and he reviews it.
Okay.
And if something were to happen, if I had an episode of dizziness or whatever, you know, I can also push a button and like interact with this. Now the second smartphone I have to carry around that pops up all these questions, you know, what did you feel? When did you feel it? Yada, 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 which fortunately I haven't had to use. So that's good. But it was going to be a 30 day. Originally, that's what they put me on. And then I said, that's fine. You guys just need to help me understand how it's going to work when I go to Hong Kong.
That's
and I'm like,
right.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't. So you can't have the 30 day. Oh, great. And it's funny because it's an eight, like the smartphone is an AT&T phone. My phone is an AT&T phone. I would think they could find a way to make it work. Mm-hmm. Like on roaming. I don't understand why they can't, but I'm not going to complain because these chest leads are itchy as all hell.
Okay. So how long do you have to wear it until this coming Thursday?
I have to wear it. So what is today's Tuesday? So I have to have these on for another like 11 days.
Oh man.
Yep. So they didn't stick well to me because chest hair prevents that.
you didn't get waxed before?
No. So in the hospital, they had me, they're like, well, they're not going to stick. So we need you to shave your chest just in these patches. So they gave me like a single, like a double blade disposable razor.
Oh, God.
Dry.
Oh my God.
I'm like, here you go.
No.
So I kind of like hack away at these little patches. And then when they came in to do the other one, the nurse, she's like, you know, when you get home, you just need to shave your chest because you're going to have to move these around. It's going to become miserable to take them off. They're not going to stick. So Thursday, end up in the hospital. Friday, that was my Friday night, just shaving my chest. It was pretty great.
We're circling back to your nipples.
Yeah, I know. I know.
The month of October is a
bad month for my chest. Honestly. It's terrible.
It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
That is true. So we could use my nipples as a transition into that.
You shaved your chest.
I did. Oof. So that is itchy. The leads are itchy. Like there's already like red circles on my chest from the leads, like from pulling them off. It's awful. So it's been a really great experience thus far.
And because this is what you needed was, you know, you needed an ER medical emergency scare thrown into your week, especially leading up to leaving the country for a week.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's exactly what you needed.
It was perfect timing.
So you will stop wearing them before you leave for Hong Kong?
I will, either the night before or the morning of, and then I have to return the monitor. So it's like I take the leads off and get on a plane.
Okay, so we were talking about this right before we hit record about, so you've never been on a flight for 15 hours?
No. The longest flight was like 8, I think.
Yeah. You're going to get a lot of advice from people about what to do.
Yes.
I have seen most of the movies that I have seen in the last 5 years I've seen on international flights.
So you just binge movies?
I binge movies. I binged the first season of True Detective on the way to Thailand. And then on the way back from Thailand. I watched the whole season.
Was that in 2015?
2014.
14, okay. Because you recommended that show to me in 2015. That's the only reason I asked.
Like 3 or 4 movies in a row, you know, if you're not that tired. It's like, I mean, for me, the 15-hour flight was always something welcome because I wasn't attending to a child. I really can't work on an international flight. That I don't know what it is about the conditions, and they jam those people on those planes. Those planes are huge, and there's a ton of people on those planes.
Oh, yeah.
So watch movies.
That's probably what I will do, mm-hmm. Assuming I don't pass out. I know. As I'm leaving the hospital, I was talking to the nurse about it, and she kind of laughed. She said, well, just wait until after you take off, and then let your seatmate know that if you black out, they just need to lift your legs above your head. Like, great. That's a really awesome idea.
Lift your legs above your head. That would be very easy for someone to do. You're what, six foot how long?
I'm six foot, but I mean, I'm in an airplane seat.
Right.
I mean, I feel like faking it just to see if they could actually accomplish the task. But I'm probably going to end up binge watching. I've only done one round trip international, but on the way there, it's overnight. So the whole plane is dark. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, that was what kind of prevented me from being effective on my laptop.
Yeah. Because
it just doesn't feel right.
Yes.
Like, I know you can turn your light on and whatever, but it feels really weird because the whole plane is dark and quiet. And I don't know. It's hard. I'm probably going to binge watch. Some people have told me to take whatever I can and completely pass out because it's such a long flight. But the problem with that is then you land at like 8 or 9 p.m. local time. And if you've slept the whole way, there's no way you're going to sleep.
Well, that's true and not true, I guess, for some people. It just depends. I mean, it'll take quite a bit out of you physically, just flying for that long and sitting and then going through customs and all of that. That will take it out of you. And if you get there and stay a little bit late and then take something again, you'll probably sleep through the night.
Really?
Yeah, because it really, those long flights are brutal physically. And I've done them a lot. And I'm in pretty good health. And I get off those planes and it's like, I feel completely beaten up. And especially as you get your luggage and you walk through customs and you, it's just like, oh my God, just let me just go lie down for a minute. Because the sleep that you get on a plane too is not really restful sleep.
No. No. That's true, I guess.
And I don't know, do you know what airline you're flying?
Yes, what is it? Cathay Pacific, I believe.
I do.
Which is like American's international partner, maybe.
I mean, if you do intend to sleep, I would take an eye mask and earplugs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Those are critical for me in on international flights if I'm going to sleep.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If someone told me I had to sit in a chair at my house for 15 hours, I would become anxious. Like, even in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Really not looking forward to it. Excited to go. It will be fun.
There's also a thing called MediJet Assist. I think that's what it's called. It's travel insurance for medical emergencies. I got it just because I was traveling. In 1 year, I had traveled to like, you know, 7 or 8 different countries. It's not that expensive, but it is something to think about. Like they'll come in and they'll get you.
Like if something happens overseas?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
MediJet Assist. I'm looking something it like up that. Right now.
Yeah.
I guess it can't hurt.
It can't hurt to take a look at it. I mean, most of the time I got it because I was going into developing countries where access to medical care wasn't necessarily easy. Hong Kong, I would think, would probably be like, it's easier to get access there than it is in Haiti.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because we don't want your heart rate dropping to 20 and you waking up in the middle of a market where you don't speak the language.
Exactly.
Or even read the language.
It's probably at least worth looking into, as long as it's not cost prohibitive. But stuff like that, and actually it looks like they have short-term options too. So yeah. Stuff like that isn't typically that bad. But like all insurance, I think, like you only need it when you don't have it.
Yep.
So, except for my terrible health insurance, I have it and I used it.
I don't even think dental insurance covers orthodontic care, does it?
No. At least the dental insurance I've always had has not.
So I don't even have dental insurance. The dental plan on my insurance is like, it costs way, way less just to pay out of pocket than the actual premium.
Which is so messed up because dental insurance, even good dental insurance, is not great.
Neither is eye care. Like eye care insurance. This is the thing that, oh, this is so weird, is that like your eyes and your teeth, like your eyes and your teeth are pretty fucking important parts of your body, you know? And all of the premiums that I pay for eye care for my kids are way, way, way higher than for any other kind of care. And they will only cover up to a very specific amount. And then I don't have dental insurance at all. I took them to a consultation for orthodontic care last week. We had talked about my that was fun.
Did it go well?
It went well. It is super expensive.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Is it braces? Is that what they're?
Yeah, and braces
for both.
Not yet for Marlo, but they gave me an estimate for Lita, and she's going to go in tomorrow and get fitted. And I've got to budget that out. Do a payment.
Sell all
plan.
Your belongings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you think, okay, I'm caught up. Like, I've got my budget exactly where I need my budget to be on a monthly basis. And then boom.
Oh, that's when it always happens. Yeah.
Boom. There's an ambulance to the ER. Boom. My child's teeth need, you know, major work. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There's just never a break.
Yeah.
I made the comment. I think this was even before the ER. Maybe the ER was punishment. And it was like, I think it was the night before. I think it was Wednesday. And we had just gotten home. Like, he had tutoring and school and everything. And we just got home. And I remember it was like, God, why do we have to eat dinner every night? Like, can we just not eat one meal? Just one meal. Because I feel like it's just, like, it's always just constant. Like, you're preparing this or cleaning up that, or then preparing this or cleaning up that, or preparing this or cleaning up that. Like, you're always in this stupid rut.
Yeah. Last year, in the depths of 2016 depression, that was one of the things that really, really ground me down, was like, fuck, if I have to unload the dishwasher one more time, please. Just, God, how do my kids go through so many goddamn cups? What is the cup situation? Stop using cups. Use the same cup. And and then I'm like, oh gosh, I've got to fix the meal, and I got to clean up the meal, and then the laundry. And it's just this, like, this Sisyphean state that we sometimes get into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's really easy to let it spiral. Like, there's one thing that will trigger it, and then it just is this ongoing, like, thing A sucks, therefore thing B sucks, and thing C sucks, and then you end up in the ER.
Mm-hmm. Or
I didn't even get to finish my coffee.
You didn't even get to finish your coffee.
Didn't even get to finish it.
Oh my God. Ugh.
The barista, she was so great. I actually went in 2 days after to find her and just let her know, like, A, I'm okay, and B, thank you for being awesome. But before I left in the ambulance, she was like, do you want to take a pastry to go? Do you want something you can eat? And I said no. And as soon as they closed the ambulance door, I was like, damn it. I would have loved a pastry. Like, that would have made this ambulance ride so much better.
It would have momentarily distracted you from the cost.
From the $70 aspirin that I was inhaling? Yeah.
Yeah. God. Oh my God.
Oh. I mean, but I wasn't driving when it happened, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. I wasn't running when it happened. I wasn't at home alone when it happened. Because
wait a minute,
that's the
wait
other
a minute,
weird thing.
Wait a minute. This is you being positive and looking at the positive aspects of this.
I know.
John Bray.
I know. It's really out of character. But because they don't actually know what happened, the really unnerving thing is, I don't know if I would have, like, how long it would have taken me to come to, or if I would have come to, if there weren't people there.
Right. As you were describing that whole scene to me, I became extraordinarily self-conscious, thinking about all of those people looking at me and wondering what happened. And I don't know if I talked about this. I was at the grocery store, and I walked out of the grocery store just as a woman fell. Those little parking cement things at the head of a parking space, like the yellow parking.
Oh yeah, like the things on the ground.
Yeah. She tripped on it and hit her head and mouth on the concrete.
Oh God.
Yeah. And she didn't speak any English. And a man and I were there, and we sat her up, and, you know, I called 911. I called an ambulance. But, you know, like, a whole crowd gathers And then she's got these two strange people who are standing next to her. Like, I'm holding her. I'm just like rubbing her arm and letting her know that it's going to be okay. And then there's all these people around. There's blood, you know. And then, of course, the ambulance shows up and it's like a fucking party. You know, there's like 70 people running around. And
oh, yeah.
Being the center of that attention, I would imagine, is extremely probably it could potentially be uncomfortable, I guess, if you're not in shock. I think she was pretty much in shock.
Right. And I think the one thing that I remember, which was kind of interesting, is, and I'm sure people were watching, but I didn't feel like it was a really captivated audience. For one, probably because there was no blood. So it was just boring. Just some weird guy who passed out. But even like there was a lady who was sitting beside me on the ground, who was the former nurse, and the guy who helped her set me on the ground. And when I came to, he just asked me, he said, "Are you okay? Do you need anything else?" And I said, "No." And he left. Like, that was it. He didn't linger to wait for the EMTs and watch and find out what happened. He just like made sure that he wasn't needed anymore. And that was it. And that was kind of nice. Because you do feel very exposed. I mean, you're automatically very exposed because you've got like all the EMTs that are prodding you and putting this stuff on and doing things. And it's all in public. And it's just, it's a bizarre experience.
It is a bizarre experience. And I remember I wasn't going to leave her because she was hysterical and she was just, and I think that she too is thinking quite a bit about the cost of it. That's just my complete assumption, but she's just like rocking back and forth, you know, my leg, my head.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then not that EMTs, I mean, they deal with this stuff all the time, but they were just like, "Ma'am," and they're speaking to her really harshly, like, "Ma'am, we have to put you on the stretcher." And she's like, she's hysterical. And they're like,
and she doesn't speak English.
No. And they're like, "You need to calm down. We have to get you on the stretcher." And I wanted to go, just be a little bit nicer.
Yeah.
She needs like some warmth in her life right now at this very moment. But yeah, I'm sure they have to deal with this all the time where they're like, "Okay, we got to put this foreign body on this stretcher and get into the back of the car."
Right. For them, it's just so routine. Mm-hmm. Everything about it is just such an exposing and unnerving experience.
Yes.
I mean, I highly recommend if you're going to pass out that you do it at Starbucks because they are on their shit. Like, they know what's going on.
They've probably seen a lot of that go down. I mean,
God, I don't know. It was,
you got your coffee tweakers in there.
Yes. That was the first question when the EMT is like, "Okay, how much coffee have you had?" Like, none. I'm like, hardly any at all. That's what I can't explain.
You're like, "I am the most moderate person who ever existed."
Yeah. Like, I am moderation. This is not excess.
I am the definition of moderation.
It's just, and what's super ironic about that is, I don't know who goes to Starbucks except everybody, but they've got like the tall as their small, you know, but then they've got the one size below that. That's a short. It's like 8 ounces. And specifically that morning, I was like, "I'm just going to get a short. I'm not here that long. I don't need that much coffee." And I drank half of my short. So seriously, 4 ounces of coffee. That was it.
Wow.
So I don't know if maybe I needed more. Maybe that was the problem.
I know people who do like 6 cups a day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I can't, and normally I would do more than that. I would do a couple cups of coffee in the morning. So it's not like I never drink coffee and had some and my body freaked out, or it was way less than normal, but it was less than what I would normally have. So bizarre though.
Yeah.
It really just throws off everything.
It does. Did they give you any pain medication or anything?
No, because nothing hurt.
Yeah.
And I hadn't fallen, so I didn't hit anything. So like literally nothing felt weird to me. That's what, I mean, not that I want something to be wrong, but that's what's sort of frustrating, to leave the hospital with like a mystery.
Right.
Like, well, we'll see if we can find something. And I fully acknowledge that this could be like a one-time occurrence. It never happens again. It's fine. But it's weird. I don't want it to happen again. No. Definitely don't want to end up in a hospital in Hong Kong.
No. I was at a 4th of July party and with a very, 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 very old trampoline and did a back handspring on the trampoline and it threw me off the trampoline.
How old were you?
I was 33. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and I could have died for sure. I could have broken my neck for sure. I was in a lot of pain. I was in excruciating pain. Like, I really, really fucked up my back. Didn't call an ambulance, just went to the ER. And it's awkward because they're coming in and they're looking, you know, I'm in, you know, the robe, and they're looking at my butt and my back where I had hit this brick. And it's like having all these people inspect and look at me, and like, I don't like being that center of attention at all.
No.
And they did some x-rays and I was fine. But they did give me, I think it was oxy.
Okay.
Now I do not like opiates or opioids. I do not do well with them at all. They make me physically very ill, but I was in a lot of pain and took a couple of them and it was amazing.
Suddenly nothing mattered.
I think it was probably because I was in so much pain that it worked, that it overrode my, like, I start throwing up if I take those things. I think I was in so much pain that it overrode those sensations and it was like, oh, this is why people are addicted to these things, because everything's amazing.
Anyone can look at my butt. I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, you. There's that vulnerability, but there's also, at least for me, like I've always been this way, but even more so now that it's just me, is I'm incredibly independent. So to have other people doing things for you and have to do things for you,
mm-hmm.
it just, I hate having to push the bedside light. Like, can I have some more water? I would love to just get up and get the damn water.
We're so used to having our lives to ourselves.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Exactly.
And then as I watch her hang up the sign for like high fall risk, and then I get the yellow, the yellow like wristband for fall risk. And she starts writing on the, like the chart on the wall about me not being able to get up.
Oh my God.
I remember she's writing and I'm like, what if I have to use the bathroom? It's like, well, then two of us will have to come in here and assist you.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Is it okay? You mean just like watch me go into the bathroom and wait for me? It's like, oh no, you can't even go into the bathroom. Oh my God. Like, oh, awesome. So you get to use a urinal, which is a lot of fun. Peeing in a jug.
Oh God.
Wait. With two nurses in the room with me. Well, they turned, but okay. they tie like this belt around your waist to give them something to grab in the event that you fall or pass out. So they tie it around my waist and then they both kind of turn around and I'm doing my thing. And then I feel one of their hands like casually grab the belt. And I immediately, I'm like, I'm not falling. I'm good. She's like, I know. I'm not looking. I just have to keep my hand there. So I can like feel her hand on my, like on my lower back as I'm trying to pee.
Yeah.
And finally, I stood there for like 2 minutes and finally I was just like, this is not going to work.
Stage fright. Hello.
So you guys can go. I don't normally pee with an audience. Like I'd rather just not pee. I mean, I get it. I totally respect the policies. I understand it, but I don't know. Maybe we should all pee with an audience more often just to be ready.
High fall risk or pee with an audience. That has to be the title of this episode.
Seriously.
High fall risk. You're like, that's my diagnosis. Thanks.
Yep. And I watched, it was low and she kind of like pondered like medium and high. I'm like, just go with medium. Just go with medium. She flips it to the red high fall. I'm like, son of a bitch. Yep. So everything you need, like tissue, water, snack, anything you have to call, you know. And I'm so used to doing everything myself that I just didn't. I would just sit there.
Yeah.
Because I felt bad having someone come in and have to give me water or whatever. So it was an adventure. And I got to spend more time in a day with my ex than I have spent since she was not my ex. So.
Oh, it all ties back to Manic Rambling Spiral is what it does. It all ties back.
It does. It was wild, though.
It was wild. And I'm, you sent me that picture from the, of you flipping off.
the bed remote?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think I had a pretty good Instagram story. So in the long run, it's totally worth it.
It's totally worth it. Absolutely. Like, you gotta Instagram that shit.
I have to say, though, and I'm not, I mean, you know this about me, I'm not the kind of person to really Instagram or share, like, on Twitter or anything, stuff that's actively happening. It's usually, like, stuff that did happen or kind of a vague piece of something. It was so awesome to have Twitter and Instagram stories to distract me sitting there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, it was amazing.
I would imagine.
Because you just get bored.
Yeah, I would imagine just sitting there and going over and over and over and over in my head all the things that I would need to get done, except that I can't get done because I'm sitting in a fucking ER. Like, getting caught in that loop in my head.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, moving to the, I mean, I didn't want to be there overnight, but moving to the room at least, I was like, okay, good. Now I can get my laptop out. They have Wi-Fi. I can work. I can get some stuff done because I felt fine. It's mm-hmm. I wasn't like completely exhausted. I wasn't dizzy. Nothing felt bad. So I just got in the regular hospital bed and like tipped it up to chair position and got on my laptop. Because I'm like, what else am I going to do? I don't watch TV normally.
Right.
You know?
Well, we are all glad that you were okay.
Well, thanks. Me too.
Super glad you're okay. When you said that you had passed out, I was like, what? Oh my God, that is not a good sign.
That was my reaction when I asked people why I was sitting on the floor. They were like, well, you passed out at Starbucks. I'm like, oh, shit. But yes, I am okay. Still sort of unknown, but okay.
We would, if you guys have any stories similar of finding yourself suddenly sitting upright on the floor of a coffee shop, wondering how the hell did I get down here, send us your fun ER ride stories. You can reach us at stories@manicramblings.com and on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Manic Ramblings.
Yes. And if you have any suggestions on how to, you know, greatly reduce medical bills, I'm open to those too. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any yet, but I'm sure they're going to trickle in for the next 8 months or so.
If I were you, I'd be very, very afraid to open the mail for the next month.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to be terrible. And I know it's just going to come in bits and pieces. I wish it would just come as like one lump.
I know.
But it's going to come in bits and pieces.
Until next time. Let's all try to avoid being a high fall risk.
An admirable
goal. Go ahead and pee with an audience. Peeing with an audience, you know, that may be fun.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.